is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And good afternoon. Welcome, everyone, to Kent Business Bunker.
Did you spot the obvious mistake?
What one was that?
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Well, yes, that's true, actually. That is...
He's not here, is he?
No, he's not.
No,
and I look nothing like him, so
no.
I couldn't really sort of be an imposter there.
It's the Business Bunker with Laura Lawrence.
It is, yes. Mm. Paul, if you need me to do this again, I need to have my own jingle. That's there you go, that's one McCrae. I know he is, because of course, Paul, I think it's his first holiday in about 9 years.
I believe it is, yeah.
So, and he's gone off to Disney World with the lovely Amanda.
Yeah. In Florida, all that way. Hope you're having a lovely time, guys.
And give our best to Mickey Mouse.
And all that, yeah. But hopefully the show is in safe hands today.
It is.
With Laura at the helm.
I've been analysing the playlist here. And
you're a dab hand at this because you host your own show anyway, don't you? The community show.
So I do, yeah.
You know what you're doing.
I haven't just walked in off the street. You know, it wasn't just like a random number that pulled out of the hat.
You know your way around all the knobs and buttons and things like that. So.
I do. Yeah. I do because I almost, because I have, yeah, Thursday mornings between 10 and 11, of course, I have the community show, which is for all things community, charity and fundraising, which I absolutely love doing. It's been, I've been doing it for over 3.5 years now, a long time.
Wow.
And then I've been co-hosting the Women in Business show, which is on after the community show on a Thursday with Sian Murphy.
Uh-huh.
And that has been absolutely amazing.
Good.
But what is amazing actually is being here today, because I think I first met Paul about 6 years ago, or I heard about him. And I remember listening to the Business Bunker, and I had my local Chamber of Commerce hat on, and I remember doing a phone in with him.
Oh,
and
right.
And that was, yeah, about 6 years ago. And now,
yeah.
Look at me today.
And it's always been your burning ambition to get in the hot seat, and today you've achieved that burning ambition.
As you can tell, it's almost like having an excited puppy in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is just my favorite time is actually sitting behind these dials talking, because apparently I'm good at that. Mm. And you know, just having
perfect.
A ball.
Perfect. Great. Well, we've got some brilliant guests with us today as well, haven't we? We've got Kevin Beck from Fleet Finance, who's joined
Martin.
Us in the studio.
It's good to be here.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for coming. And we've got Clive Hawkins from High Bank Communications.
Hello, Martin.
Hi, Clive. Hi.
Nice to be here.
And we're going to be hearing a little bit more from Kevin and Clive a little bit later on. But we've got tons of stuff to get through, as always, haven't we?
We have. My Twitter feed has been inundated because Paul obviously put the shout out to everyone to tweet me. So if you do want to tweet during the show, don't forget to use the hashtag BBunker, or you can tweet me directly, Laura C. Lawrence, and I'll be picking all of those up because you've got a mountain of paper.
Yeah, so you're going to focus on the live stuff and I'm going to focus on the kind of the paper stuff which I've got here. So yeah,
I think that's a good plan. Mm.
So should we kick off with some of that? Because I was down with Sue McGowan earlier on from Kent Space, because obviously we're in the offices of Kent Space here in Ashford at the Electrostep building, and they've actually got a brilliant Halloween after hours networking special here at Kent Space in Ashford next. Well, it's next Wednesday, actually, Halloween, isn't it? 31st of October. And the lovely Jo James, CEO of Kent Invicta Chamber, is the guest speaker on the night. So if you fancy getting away from all the trick-or-treaters and you want a genuine excuse for not answering the door next Wednesday evening when they come knocking, then join us at Kent Space, and there'll be nibbles and Halloween masks and pumpkin pie and things like that, I've been told as well.
So it's not really an escape from Halloween at all, because there's going to be a bit of a... Is it going to be fancy dress?
It's a grown-up's Halloween, I guess, isn't it?
Okay.
And a bit of networking thrown in as well. So if you wanted to come in fancy dress, I'm sure nobody would object.
I have black angel wings that come out every Halloween, and they are just the most awesome things, and I want to upgrade them to a feathered pair, you know. So but yeah, I love getting dressed up.
Along next Wednesday, we look forward to seeing that, Laura. Yeah,
well, talking of Halloween, actually, I'm doing, because my co-host Joseph Wall-Torton, we're actually going to be raising some money for Demelza Hospice Care for Children. We are having a pumpkin off. So we are going to be carving pumpkins in the middle of Edenbridge High Street in one of the windows. I think Joseph has one of the biggest windows in the high street. And we are going to be decorating our pumpkins. Anyone who's passing by can stop and watch. We're also going to be live streaming it. But I just thought, I haven't done that for years. Absolutely, yes. And we just thought, why not? Let's just get together and make a pumpkin. He did suggest doing it in the pub, but I don't think pumpkin carving and alcohol are a particularly good mix.
No.
So I said, we'll do it with some tea.
So you're going to do this in a shop window, live in front of passers-by, are you?
Yes, and I'm hopefully going to be live-streaming it from the Community Show Facebook page as well. Why not?
Brilliant. And somebody's going to be there with a bucket collecting money on the day.
That's presumably. Right, and I will be getting out my Black Angel wings.
Sounds fantastic.
Why, you know, you've got to have fun doing these things.
Now, Sue has also asked me to mention, Sue McGowan at Kent Space, the fact that they're opening a co-working space here as well. So traditionally they've been serviced office space, individual offices, but they're also going to be having a co-working space here now at Kent Space, both in Ashford and in Chatham as well, I believe. So if you'd like to find out more about getting involved with that, as somebody that perhaps needs to get out of their home office or their spare bedroom once or twice a week and would value the collaboration and kind of co-working benefits that you get by being with other people that are kind of in a similar position, then do talk to Sue or Vicky Thurley. So that's either sm@kentspace.co.uk or vt@kentspace.co.uk.
I think that's so important. I know from when I started my own business over 13 years ago now, and just being stuck at home working from your spare room, and you don't really have that much contact. I mean, with anyone, you know. And I was lucky enough to be running a magazine business, so I just put little messages out to my magazine saying, do you work from home? Do you feel lonely? Do you want to meet for lunch? You know, so we sort of did that. But it's really important. And particularly when you're starting out as well, you can be so inspired by meeting other local business owners. And you actually get to make some really good friends as well. It's just like brings you into a whole new sort of, you know, yeah, culture and everything, because it is a big transformation to make.
Well, it's lonely enough as it is, I think, running your own business at times. So, just for kind of sanity's sake, it's good to...
It's the only reason we come here, isn't it? To have some company.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've got something. I'm going to read out a live tweet, actually, if that's okay, Martin.
Absolutely.
It has come through. It's from Bryn Price at Safer Kent, and he's asking, could you give a shout out about Safer Kent? We are starting 3 new sports-based programs to help youngsters change their behaviour and develop anger management and self-discipline skills. They would love some local companies to help with sponsorship. So if that's something that you think you could get involved in, then do go onto the Twitter and follow @SaferKent, and you'll be able to message Bryn then. It sounds like a great project that you're doing, and I wish you every success with that.
Absolutely. We were talking about kind of startup businesses just before that, and Let's Do Business Group, who are probably the Southeast's, well, certainly one of the Southeast's largest business support providers, if not the largest, are running a free 2-day business startup workshop at their offices down in Hastings. And it's on the 21st and 28th of November. Let's Do Business Group run the Startup Loans Programme in the Southeast on behalf of the government and the Startup Loans Company. So I think for anybody that's just starting out in business and would like to hear from the experts in terms of getting their business ready for business, I think this will be a very, very valuable course. So registration is at 9:15 and the course runs from 9:30 to 4:30. And there are 2 days, 21st of November and 28th of November. At LDB Group on the Twitter is probably the best thing to do, to follow them on the Twitter. But again, if you need to find out more information about the details of the course, you can have a look in the community section of Supply My Business. It's all in there. But that's the 21st and 28th of November, a 2-day business startup workshop.
Paul has just tweeted us.
Oh.
Yes, and he said, great start to Business Bunker show with Laura and Martin. And they are recording a Mickey jingle for me right now.
Oh, how
cool
sweet.
Is that?
How sweet.
So, yes, because when you said, did I notice anything wrong at the start? I was like, what? Did I do something wrong? But I didn't. I did everything, as I
wrong.
Should have been. Yeah, I was
it's
a bit worried.
Paul had obviously missed out.
Well, it is his show. Yeah. It is his show, you know. So, it's,
well, we hope you guys are having a nice time. Do send us a picture of Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
This must be your second day in the park coming up, so no doubt you're exhausted already, but yeah,
It's great fun. We've had all Herbs Palsy Group have tweeted. Good morning. We'd love a mention, please, as it's Herbs Palsy Awareness Week. Perfect timing. So they're actually going to email me some facts about that. So anyone who doesn't know about Herbs Palsy, we're going to be letting you know. I know Juliet Shand, who is part of the charity. She's been on Business Bunker. I think she's been on the community show. It's just to raise awareness about a condition that not many people know about.
Mm. Absolutely.
Right.
Now, who out there has made arrangements for their Christmas party already? Kevin, Clive, have you got your Christmas parties sorted yet? No, me neither. What about you, Laura? Are you organised for your...
No. I've just put my Christmas issues to the printers for my magazines, and I feel like I've done Christmas already.
You've had enough of Christmas.
I'm on to the new year, yeah.
Well, obviously, all good businesses deserve to take their staff out and have a good old knees up and celebration this Christmas. And Karin Snoke, who was on the show recently from the Mercure Dartford Brand Section Hotel and Spa, are offering individual Christmas party nights from £9.99 per person this year. So they can do you a tailored package. You can join a kind of a group party package, or you can just turn up as an individual for £9.99. So even if you are a micro business on your own, there's no reason why you shouldn't go out and have a thorough knees up this Christmas. So if you'd like to find out more, do contact the Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel and Spa. And I think on the Twitter, they are at Mercure D. BH. So that's at Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch. So, book yourselves in there and have a thoroughly good evening.
We have had a tweet from Paul with a picture of Mickey and Minnie.
Oh,
there we
you?
Go.
What's
yes.
he tweeting on? Is he? He's not hashtag Big Bunker.
He's doing hashtag Business Bunker. Oh, okay. He knows how to do the show. Oh, okay. He knows how to get a mention.
I need to refresh my screen. Oh, yes, there we are. Yeah,
yes.
Got you. Good.
So, I'm just trying to see. There's so much coming through. It's just, it's hard to keep up and knowing that I've got controls and keeping track of time. I'm doing.
Well, I shall read another event while you're keeping up with the Twitter. A company called Pecunia. And Kevin, you might be interested in talking to these guys at some point as well. They're running a money survival guide. And what Pecunia do is they specialise in credit management and credit process. Because I think the reality for a lot of businesses out there is that they are simply missing a trick when it comes to asking their customers to pay their bills.
Yeah, very true.
And you'd be amazed how many businesses there are out there that are just sitting on potentially oodles of cash, but are struggling from a cash flow point of view because they just haven't asked their customers to pay them. And
very much so.
Yeah.
I think the big problem with a lot of small businesses is that the cash coming in, you shouldn't be funding somebody's overdraft. So you do a good service for your clients, you expect to be paid on time, and that will ensure your business grows profitably throughout.
What do you think is a reasonable time frame to expect to be paid within? I mean, we've always traditionally, I think, spoken about 30 days credit terms in business. Should that still be the norm, or should you expect to be paid immediately?
I think it depends on the service or the goods that you're supplying, but certainly 30 days is the norm. A lot of people ask for 14 days. A lot of suppliers of office equipment will put office equipment in, whether it's the soft consumables like cartridges or the machines, and say 14 days.
Right, okay. So it doesn't have to be 30 days, but I think the reality for a lot of businesses, their debtor days are kind of 60 plus.
Yeah, very much so, especially in printers are notorious for being paid late. Mm. And also, funny enough, accountants, they're very poor at getting paid on time.
Mm, mm.
And if you think with an accountant, if they're spending a year waiting to get the client's books in and then doing the books and then there's
waiting
a long
another
lead
year.
In time.
Yeah, very much so. Okay, well, that's interesting. So Pecunia are actually running a credit management workshop. It's at Chatham Dockyard. It's on Tuesday, the 6th of November, and I think they've got a morning workshop which starts at 9:30, and they're replicating that and running exactly the same workshop at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the same day. So you can book in for one or the other. If you book into the afternoon one, I think there's some networking that they're doing as well at 5 p.m., At Pecunia2016 is their handle on the Twitter. Or again, you can find all the information. There are some other guest speakers on the day as well. You can find all of the information in the community section of Supply My Business. I think for me, another startling fact about all of this is a lot of small business owners are frightened to ask their customers to pay them because they don't want to jeopardise the relationship. And you think, well, hang on a minute. You know, if you're not being paid for the work you're being, for the work you're doing, then there is no kind of commercial relationship there anyway. So what have you got to lose, you know?
Absolutely. You need to be paid.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you allow customers to build up residual debts that they owe you, you're leaving your business exposed because the debts mount up, you get a big bad debt, and it can really put your business under pressure.
Yes. So I think the key message here is to kind of to start off with some rigid, proper process in the first instance. And if you haven't got that in your business, then get yourselves along to this free workshop with Pecunia, and they'll show you how to do it, basically.
One of the little tricks that I did, actually, when I started, because it was something I absolutely hated discussing with any clients, but I just set up, I sort of pretended I had a credit control department, so I just set up a different email account, and I'd email them at accounts, you know, rather than from my own one. So at least I could be a bit sort of harsher. And then if they rang me, I said, oh, sorry, yeah, that was my, you know, credit control. And you just blame sort of somebody else. But then you do get paid and, you know.
That's
so
a good way of doing it, yeah.
Little techniques, yes.
So you just created a mini-me.
That's right.
Under a pseudonym, and away you went.
Yes.
That's a very good idea.
I hope none of my clients are listening to the show now, because they're very good now. But I think once you do get rigid, then people know you're rigid with the payment terms, and then they respect that, you know. So once I tightened up everything, it ran so much more smoothly.
I guess it's over time. People just people get lax, don't they? And their business grows, and they don't have as much control, and they don't have as much oversight. And so bad habits creep in, but it is a massive problem facing small businesses. So we all need to kind of look into that a bit more.
Yeah, that does sound like a good one to go to. Right, just a few shout outs on Twitter. We've got Natasha, Split to End Events, Spice Master PM. All these people, I don't know everyone, but good afternoon to you. Who else have we got? The list is Molly Moodle. She's got her own show here. George Jessel. Lots of people on Twitter today. It's great to see you. Don't forget to use the hashtag Business Bunker.
I need to give a shout out for a networking meeting that Kevin and I go to, actually. Well, we go to Dartford at Brian's BN on the Twitter. So this is Brian Wakefield, BBN Networking. So this is a pay-as-you-go networking meeting that happens bi-weekly in Dartford and bi-weekly in Bromley. But it's actually the turn of Bromley this week. Oh, Clive, you're going?
I go along to this. So I've gone pretty much from the start, actually. So it's a very good event.
So anywhere between sort of 40 and 50 businesses networking this Wednesday at Bromley Football Club, I believe, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
From 7 o'clock in the morning. So if you're perhaps got a couple of hours free before you have to take the kids off to some attraction or other in Kent this Wednesday, and you're free from 7 till about 9 or 9.30 this Wednesday, at Brian's BN on the Twitter, get in touch with Brian. It's pay as you go, so I think it's £16 on the door, and I think he's bound to have a couple of spaces free at Bromley this week. But always a good meeting to go to,
and you get a fantastic breakfast as well.
Always a good breakfast. The most important thing,
I think, since I've stopped morning networking, I've managed to get my waistline down a bit, you know. Because Kevin and I, we go quite a few years back. Actually,
back.
It was I think 4N we worked it out at, but
where
quite
was that?
A while.
Where did you guys go networking? Which part of Kent?
Did you come to the Edenbridge one when I was running it?
I used to
run that one. If it happens in Edenbridge, I'm running it, or right, I'm there anyway. So,
to my great shame, I don't think I've ever been to Edenbridge. Where exactly is Edenbridge?
Do you
Edenbridge?
Know what? I'm actually
a trick.
I'm a trained tour guide for my town, such that I love it. I can show you around. It's in between East Grinstead and Sevenoaks. You might have heard of one of our sort of most famous features, which is called Hever Castle.
Yes, I have been there. I've played golf there.
Lots of golf courses. Mm. Chartwell's also, you know, so it's steeped in just amazing history. And it's...
Now, I do see you sometimes on Facebook. Do you have a bonfire thing there every year? Is that yours or is that someone else's?
Yes, no, it is. Okay. And
because you burn a celebrity guy or something, don't you?
That's
do you do that?
Yes, we do. And I am for the third year running now. I'm the official spokesperson for the Eden British Bonfire Society.
You're not being burned.
No, I'm not.
You were say for the third year running.
I have been threatened before because of the burning of the effigies. But it's an amazing event and the whole sort of world spotlight comes onto Eden Bridge. So last year we did Harvey Weinstein, we did Donald Trump the year before. We are looking for people's suggestions about who they think might be this year's effigy. But it's a tradition that we've been doing in Edenbridge for just over 20 years because apparently most places will have like a huge bonfire. It's bonfire night. That seems like a sort of a good idea. But no, apparently we were banned from health and safety reasons. So then they came up with the idea to build a giant 11-metre effigy. And then we have another 11-metre effigy of Guy Fawkes as well. And we've got the grand unveiling is taking place on Wednesday. So that's a week tomorrow at a secret location on a secret farm in Edenbridge. And
so nobody knows who it is this year yet.
Even we don't know who it is.
Oh, right.
The artists who do it, I mean, they are absolutely incredible. They will know about 2 days in advance. There will be a decision be made. It will be what the public have voted on, and then they will start building this giant effigy, you know, and it takes 2 days.
Did you do Donald Trump last year? Was that you?
That was the year before we did Donald. Yeah, so...
It won't be him again then.
No, you can't do the same one twice because then it's just not the same.
I wonder who it might be. I mean, it's generally someone that's kind of obviously...
In the news for the wrong reasons, shall we say.
Yes, so sort of being ridiculed for who they are.
Have you got any suggestions?
Could be Boris, couldn't it?
Boris Johnson would be a good one.
I think he would be the most likely to turn up to the event if we had him. Yeah. Because it's all done, it's all, you know, it's supposed to be fun and it's great that we do get the spotlight on the town for our big sort of bonfire. Because we raised thousands for charity during the actual procession as well. And I'll be live streaming it all. I'll be live streaming the unveiling, also the procession. We had over 100,000 views on Facebook last year when I was live streaming it all. And like I say, I'll be all over the TV, which I quite enjoy.
We're good at that kind of thing in Kent, aren't we? I mean, I know the health and safety people try and kind of spoil all our fun. I mean, I live obviously down in Thanet, and we have, for Folk Week, we used to have a sort of a parade, a torchlight parade in the High Street in Broadstairs at the start of Folk Week. But they've banned that now, unfortunately, because it was too dangerous, people running around with kind of torches.
Oh, we're still allowed the torches in the High Street.
Yeah, it's another famous one, isn't it? Is it in Lewis or
something? Yeah, Lewis, they have a huge one.
Yes. Is that bonfire night as well? Or?
Yeah, I think Lewis have theirs on actual bonfire itself, so it'll always be the 5th, but we always have ours on the 3rd of November. Now, if you want, I can just give you a quick history about what all this means, because I'm from London originally, and when I first moved to Edenbridge, within a few days, they had this big torchlit procession, and I wondered what on earth was going on in this town that I'd just moved to. You know, I thought people were dangerous walking around with torches. But there's a whole Sussex bonfire season, which starts in September of all times, and each of the Sussex bonfire groups, I mean, there's two now included within Kent, will take it in turns each Saturday to have their parade and their sort of bonfire display, so that, and then they all go out and support each other as well. So it's quite interesting.
Oh, that's lovely.
So sometimes people say, why you know, all these things taking place in September or October when it's not bonfire, it's so everyone gets a turn.
Yeah, fantastic.
There we go.
I like it. A bit like the carnivals in the summer, because they tend to kind of rotate around all the, where I live anyway, the seaside towns.
Seaside.
It's Ramsgate and then it's Margate and then it's kind of, it all rotates.
I could tell you about the history of bonfire for a long time, but I think it's time to move.
Let's move on.
To a bit of tunage, perhaps.
I'm
just looking at the time.
I just changed microphones, by the way, because I've got Paul in my third ear saying, your mic's a bit quiet, Martin. So, Paul,
okay.
Just because I know you'll be thinking that over in Florida, I've just changed mics just for you.
Yes, he has.
I'm on pink.
Suits you, sir.
What are we going to listen to? What have we got?
We have, this is actually one of my worst songs ever, but anyway, that's fine. This is what Paul's put on the playlist.
This is cheesy tunage, is it?
Cheesy tunage, yes, but I'll let him off, and I'll always think of Paul now every time that I hear this going forward. But it's a bit of Dire Straits.
Oh.
Choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options Unique Careers Report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
And you're tuned in to the Business Bunker with me, Laura Lawrence, and over the other side of the studio,
me, Martin White.
It's good to have you.
It's
good
to be here.
Now, I sort of was playing that, you know, I think I was reading it right, doing sort of, you know, the instructions. But anyway.
Well, I think, Paul, we've sussed the relevance of that particular song, because our next guest, Kevin, from Fleet
our first
Finance.
Guest.
Yes, our first guest, is actually going to be talking all about the world of money and how we can get our hands on some, hopefully. So
fantastic.
We should introduce Kevin, shouldn't we, to the listener now. So Kevin, welcome to Business Bunker, your first time on the show.
Yeah, very much so. It's great to be here.
Well, we're delighted that you could make it. And tell us, Fleet Commercial Finance, you've been around for a while now, haven't you? What is it exactly that you do?
Well, I established the company in 1992, so this is our 27th year. And we are specialist commercial mortgage brokers, business finance brokers, and we've been arranging finance for the SME market ever since we established the company in 92. Before that, I worked for Lombard North Central, and overall we have 40 years of experience in lending to small businesses.
So, I mean, Kevin and I network quite a lot, Laura, up at BBN Dartford, and what you tend to find is there's some very, very knowledgeable people at that group who have done, you know, years in an insurance company or in a bank or in a finance company, that have then set up their own business. And actually, I think you have a kind of a quite a unique perspective on the whole of the marketplace, as opposed to, you know, someone working in a bank that has bank products that they can leverage.
Yeah, very much so. The whole point of being a commercial mortgage broker is that we are whole of market. So most people, when they're looking for finance, will go and see their existing bank, and that's absolutely the right thing to do. But their own bank will only give them one solution and one set of products. Mm. And an interesting statistic is that quite a few people, if they don't get the answers they want from their own bank, instead of looking at the wider lending community, will just stop there and say, okay, I wasn't successful, I didn't get the terms I wanted or the level of funding that I want, so I'll just stop what I'm doing and, you know, carry on my business at that level. Mm. Whereas there are so many alternatives available now. Mm. And
So we're missing out potentially. There's loads of businesses out there potentially that are missing out on opportunities to grow their business.
Very much so.
To the benefit of everybody.
Yeah, everybody ultimately that works for them, the people that own the business, the products and services they provide, and funding is available for these businesses.
So, I mean, do you think more needs to be done at a kind of central government level to, I mean, you know, there's a big thing, and Clive, I know your background is very much in kind of energy and utilities. Do you think there's a, you know, in the same way that we've got this kind of U-switch kind of government-funded message out there in terms of, look, you know, don't settle for the utility prices with your current provider, it's very easy to switch and shop around for the best deal. Do you think there's something more that the government should be doing to encourage, you know, a more holistic view of the business finance market on that level?
I think there is, and I think we're members of the NACFB, which is our trade body, and for years they have been lobbying Parliament on our behalf to allow ministers to understand what commercial mortgage brokers, business finance brokers do what they can bring to the table and how they can support the small businesses in the UK.
So what's that, National Association of Credit Brokers?
National Association of Commercial Finance Brokers.
Commercial Finance Brokers. Okay, fine. All right. So, give us some examples, Kevin, of the types of kind of finance that people might come to you for. I mean, it's not just, is it commercial mortgages primarily that we're talking about here?
It's a wide range of lending options. We have businesses that may wish to grow their business and they need some unsecured funding to expand their business, whether to take on staff, extra working capital, or new product development. Mm-hmm. And today you have peer-to-peer funders such as Funding Circle providing unsecured finance for businesses to grow their businesses. And there's other lenders like cash flow lenders that provide alternatives to overdrafts. So there's so many different ways of getting unsecured funding, maybe with a PG, but, you know, without putting property on the line. And then there's, on the larger level, there's the more traditional routes of finance, which are commercial mortgages, sort of short-term bridging finance for acquisitions, mm-hmm. Property development finance to build houses. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about the number of houses that need to be built in the UK. And a lot of that pressure is going to fall on the small builder and property developer. Mm-hmm, it's not just the big boys that will develop the number of properties we need. Mm. And the reality is there are a plethora of specialist funders out there that will provide funding to build and sell houses.
So the process from your point of view, I mean, what needs to kind of support a funding application typically? What do you need the business owner to be able to evidence and provide you in order for you to then go out and get them the best deal in the marketplace?
Well, I think where a lot of small businesses fall down is they know their business intimately and they know that they can afford to make payments back to the lender. But it's the ability to be able to demonstrate that affordability. Mm. Because what lenders are interested in, although they need security on larger loans, they're interested in, can you make the payments? Mm. Is the loans going to be affordable? Because they're responsible lenders and they don't want to be lending money and putting people into a worse situation. So the role of the commercial finance broker is to sit with the client as an old-fashioned bank manager would have done 40 years ago, understand their business, and then put together a package of information which will resonate with the lender to allow that lender to make a positive decision to move forward.
So you know all the right questions to ask before the application is submitted.
Yeah, very much so. And it's things like all banks have stress tests for affordability. Mm. Well, the clients don't know what those stress tests are, and they may think they've done a good business plan, but if it isn't going to meet the stress tests, then it doesn't get off the ground.
Right. So, for example, you know, you've got 10 clients. If your biggest client was to pull their business tomorrow, would you survive that particular stress test in terms of revenue and income?
Yeah, and it's looking at the package. You know, with any small business, when you grow, if you get a big client and somebody who supports your business and gives you a lot of business, then the trick is to utilize that client to grow the business, but then diversify away from that client so that you spread your risk.
And you're not dependent upon that one client, yeah. And I guess a lot of the problems with the bank as well, or with the banks, Laura, is credit history. And I know, particularly if you're a startup business, the banks don't tend to lend to startup businesses because a startup business has no credit history. And, you know, that's kind of one of their key kind of initial tests, isn't it? Have you borrowed money from us before? No. Well, we're not going to lend you any then. Yeah. Well, how am I going to ever borrow money from you?
It's a nightmare. I remember even trying to rent a flat and I didn't have a credit card and I couldn't even do that. I had to get a credit card, pay some, you know, buy a holiday, pay it off, and then I was able to have a rental flat with no problem. Same in business.
Yeah, very much so. I think with a lot of small businesses, they always put their own money in first or family money in, and that tends to get them started. And then they need to develop some kind of financial footprint to allow them to move on to the next stage.
But I guess the key benefit of using someone like you, and I can sort of see it from my own point of view, Kevin, is that you know the right people to go to for the right kind of finance that my business needs, as opposed to approaching a kind of a generic lender like a bank, who's going to kind of look at my business on a very different level. That for me is the value in employing somebody like you. It's the specialism that you get in terms of approaching.
It's looking at the whole market and seeing, well, what level of funding do you require and what sort of lender will that suit? And sometimes we deal with all the banks and specialist lenders, and so we can point the client in the right direction to ensure they get the right level of funding.
But presumably, you can't guarantee success for everybody. So I guess, early on, you also help clients avoid wasting their time and wasting your time, because if they can't provide the financials to support the lending.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we're a fee-based brokerage, but we tend to charge our fees on success at the end of the project. So if a client comes to us and it's obvious that the deal isn't going to go anywhere, it's in our interest to be straight with the client and to say, you're being too sort of optimistic in what you're trying to achieve.
So from your point of view, from the outset, what should a prospective client be bringing to the table on day one to help you make that decision in terms of whether you're going to be able to help them or not? What do they need to have?
Well, they need to have a business plan. Sounds very grandiose, but they need to have something that they can, in writing, that they can put down with some projections. And also, it's quite helpful if you're saying, well, we're going to do this and we're going to achieve this level of turnover, it's the hard facts behind, well, where did you get that information from?
Right.
So if you've got orders in the pipeline, okay, then they can start to back up the projections. So, who are your clients? What sort of orders have you got? And then you start to build a proposal from there.
Right, okay. But I mean, this is what's so fascinating about business, isn't it, in many ways? It's not an exact science.
Oh, no.
Business never is it? It's never black and white. It's never concrete. And so there's always an element of kind of, we need to kind of, we need to forecast likely revenues.
But these problems are the same irrespective of the size of the business, because as your business grows, you will find that you're in a business, you've got, say, 3 or 4 years accounts, but all of a sudden you want to borrow £100,000 to expand your business. You haven't got any security. Where do you go? You could approach a bank, and quite often you do, but then the bank turn around and say, well, we might want some security. There are other options available. And it's a question of when you're looking at larger deals, property development finance deals or commercial mortgages, some lenders may only want to be lending 50-60%, others may go to 75%. So it's a question of looking at the proposal and seeing exactly what is required for the client and then matching the funder with that proposal.
I mean, property is a really interesting example, isn't it? Because there is such a scarcity of suitable business premises now out there for businesses. So, I guess one of the more attractive options is to, build your own on a industrial site somewhere. Business sites are springing up left, right and centre, but you have to fund a build, don't you?
We had a proposal come to us today where clients are looking to raise some money on a building. It's short-term funding because they've sold the building. It's an industrial building, but they've sold it for permitted development. It's going to be changed into flats. And when the government brought in this permitted development to try and increase the level of residential property, it has had a detrimental effect on the number of business premises available for businesses.
I mean, I know we've got some big sites near me, China Gateway, just on the outskirts of Ramsgate, where, that's expanding. And I know people that are going into that space and effectively funding their own build for their own business premises. And But I mean, that's a costly thing. I mean, you're looking at sort of maybe £250,000.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, to fund a small business unit. So that's not for the faint-hearted either,
no,
is it?
No, but funds are available.
Right, so funds are available. And what about affordability? Because we all know that kind of interest rates are still rock bottom. I mean, everybody's expecting them to kind of to rise gradually. And I guess some of that sort of partly depends on what happens with negotiations Indeed. That are ongoing at the moment. But is affordability at an all-time kind of high from your point of view because of low interest rates? Or?
Yeah, low interest rates have been very good. When I started the business in 91, 92, interest rates were 10%. Mm. And there's a lot of people in business that have never seen those sort of interest rates. Mm. Mm. And in fact, in 1979, when I worked for Lombard, rates were 17%.
Gosh, it's times
I can only dream of. Wow.
Well, that's like the residential market, isn't it? Back in there, was it the 80s when we had that massive crash? I mean, scarily high interest rates. Yeah. So there's money out there. There's people prepared to lend money, crucially.
And long-term forecasts from the Bank of England say rates might go up a bit, but not going up very much. Right. So it's still very affordable.
So there's plenty of money and plenty of affordable money, crucially.
So that's good news.
It sounds like it.
It
so
does.
If you're a business that perhaps has had the door closed in your face from your local high street bank, and you're kind of wondering, well, where do I go from here? Don't lose heart.
No, absolutely not.
And I think the other key thing also is, I think for me, It's a mindset thing as well. You know, borrowing money to expand a business isn't a bad thing. You know, if it ultimately, if it's going to help you achieve what you want to achieve. So
I think we should let listeners know if they want to get in touch with Kevin, for instance. Yeah. How can they do that, Kevin?
Well, they can telephone my office on 01322 558 089, or email me, kevin@fleet-finance.co.uk.
And Kevin is also on the Twitter.
Absolutely.
At Fleet Finance. So nice.
There we go.
And you're on LinkedIn.
And I'm on LinkedIn.
I connected somebody with you the other day. So,
Everywhere. Well, that's that. You've got to be everywhere. You've got to be on all platforms.
But you're actually based, is it Bexley or Bexley Heath?
Yeah,
somewhere?
Bexley Village.
Bexley Village. So that's where the kind of, that's where the office is. That's where headquarters is. But you're arranging finance all over Kent, I know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Brilliant. Good.
Keeping businesses
Thank you,
booming.
Kevin.
Thank you very much. Yes. I think that's one of the great things about this show is that it just signposts listeners who are in business to know where they can go or what options out there. Because, you know, as we were talking before, when you are sort of in a sort of more enclosed sort of group with people, you don't always know what's available. Yeah. So
the expertise is always out there, but it's about, you know, being able to put your hands on it and find it when you need it.
That's
the key thing. So
so we bring them to everyone.
Well, that's what we try and do, isn't it, every week? So, yeah, absolutely.
It's a nice thing. It's a feel-good thing. Yeah. We're helping businesses grow. We've been having lots of things on Twitter while you were talking to...
Do tell.
Okay. Natasha at Split to End Events, she's been saying, "Hey, B Bunker, we are having such an incredible time with Ali Harold to help us on our why in a public speaking performance. Ali is so incredible with support and coaching our confidence with the deliverables for being on a stage. They highly recommend you book with her." So that's Natasha. You can follow her at Split2NDEvents. I've never had any problems with public speaking.
No, and she's talking about your why, which I guess is your value proposition. You know, why me? Why would you do business with me? So I guess they're focusing in on that side of their kind of their marketing communications, Clive, which we'll come on to shortly, I'm sure. I need to give a shout out for Terry Botti's breakfast networking this Wednesday down on the Marsh. Actually, it's in Dymchurch, but it's Terry runs a very successful networking group on the Marsh. So it's 7:45 till 9:15. It's this Wednesday. It's at Thursday. It's at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. And I think Terry's doing a special offer on breakfast this week as well. So I think you can get your full English for a fiver this week. Another full English.
That'd be like the fifth one this week.
So if you want to book on for that, if you're down Dymchurch Way or, you know, Hythe perhaps, or down on the Marsh, at TD Botti on the Twitter is Terry's Twitter handle.
Excellent. We've also had a tweet in from Diane Dupree. She says, lovely to hear you at Lauren C. Lawrence. That's me. How nice. On Business Bunker, would welcome a shout out for at Invicta IP, providing services of Paul Kemp, patent attorney in Orpington. He drafts patents, registers designs, helps businesses make informed decisions on intellectual property and IP strategy. So there you go, Diane. That's your shout out. In fact, we had an interesting guest on Women in Business about intellectual property. It's something that a lot of businesses don't think about, but really ought to. Very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to give a shout out for some low-case grant funding that might be relevant for businesses out there. And Clive, again, this is probably right up your street. So there's an awful lot of European money still floating around. Obviously, it's not going to be around forever. But while it is, if you are potentially looking at investing in more energy efficient lighting solutions, for example, and that might be LED lighting in your business, there are some very attractive grants available out there at the moment. I think up to 55% of capital investment in a relevant project could be low-case funded. So this is low carbon southeast, basically, which is an EU-funded initiative. A company called Majimoto, at Majimoto on the Twitter, will provide a free site survey for your business. So they will come in and they will look at your existing energy consumption, for example, and they will produce a full report demonstrating the savings that you could be making by converting to LED. And quite often, the actual cost for a project like this will be self-funding through the savings that you're actually making on your quarterly energy bill, which is incredible. So and they can also arrange finance for that in the first instance as well. So if you'd like to find out more about that, and perhaps you've got some, I don't know, some old strip lighting or something like that in a warehouse or in an older office building, please talk to either Alex or Tushar. And that's Majimoto, and that's they've got a sandwich number 01304 840 495, and as I say, it's at Majimoto on the Twitter.
There's lots going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, there's loads of, I mean, we're talking about financing businesses through through borrowing and lending. There are loads of grant initiatives out there at the moment, and people just don't know that they exist. I mean, this is one of the most frustrating things. Anything kind of public sector driven, whether that be from on high through central government or more locally, tends to be very much under the radar. And there's all this money floating around and they can't get rid of it. And of course,
and that's it. And it won't find you. You do have to go and find the money, you know, and that's why organisations such as local chambers of commerce, for instance, at least they get, you know, these organisations who are giving away the money to go in touch as well. Yeah, it's
What's your view on that, Clive? I mean, how sort of under the radar is it from your point of view?
I think there's quite a lot under the radar. Mm. And I think, dare I say, it's communication here, yeah, aspect here, that it's not being communicated or enough being made aware of it for particularly smart startup businesses or businesses looking to go into a specialised area where they will attract grant funding. So I absolutely agree that, you know, talking to your local Chamber of Commerce, talking to local networking groups, people within those groups can always be very useful. And also going to the government website, because there is a lot of information on there, but you do need to navigate your way around to find where these things are.
I mean, the irony of it is, you know, that there is no advertising money to promote it.
No.
So, you know, once you've got these huge kind of sums of money available, and I think Southeast Business Boost, I think, is a £2.5 million fund available for businesses in Essex and Kent and East Sussex. You know, it kind of sits there because nobody kind of knows about it. And eventually, obviously, the money gets taken back.
That's it.
And recycled into something else.
So, and then they get less the next year. So if they can spend it all, then they can get some more the next year and help even more businesses. So, it's up to us, the business people of Kent and the Southeast, to spend all this money.
And crucially, you know, put your hand up and you know, just wherever you are, if you're at a networking meeting, there's a brilliant networking meeting, which we should mention, happening this Thursday evening at the Great Danes. It's LinkedIn Local. Which is the first of its kind in Kent, I believe.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. It's going to be 300 odd people, I think, are booked on already. And, you know, when you're ever at an event like that, just put your hand up. I mean, ask people, just say, look, you know, by the way, is, you know, just on the off chart, is there any funding available for, I don't know, my lighting or for, you know, my converting to greener energy or, you know.
And it
or,
doesn't have to be something really big. People always assume that, you know, they're only going to get funding if they're going to be asking for thousands and thousands.
Exactly.
But no, it's not. It can be something really small. Yeah. If it's going to be of benefit to your business and you can prove that, then, you know, you are, you know, likely to be able to have the money. But also what I find is really refreshing as well is the support that you can get as well. Because there's all these, you know, sort of funds available, they don't – people don't mind helping you fill out the forms, mm-hmm. making sure exactly. you're going into the right thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it really, really is worth sort of finding that out.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
That's the one rule in life. Mm-hmm. It goes across everything, not just business, but everything. Well, you know what we're almost coming up
You've
to?
You've got your eye on the clock because it's have news you? Time, haven't you?
Have you noticed? Yeah. It is.
It's 2 o'clock,
we're going to go over to the news and right. we will be back in a few minutes.